You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we are turning our attention to the Chicago Bears Week 11 matchup with the Minnesota Vikings. One of the most critical games on their schedule, certainly the most critical game of the season up to this point. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but in my opinion, I don't think this is a particularly favorable matchup for the Chicago Bears. On today's podcast, we'll talk about how this Vikings defense seems to be in perfect position to exploit some of Mitchell Trubisky's weaknesses and maybe have him revert back to some of his poor performances. But we'll also touch on how this Bears defense has a little bit of a favorable matchup with the Vikings offensive line in particular, and we'll wrap up with a look at matchups on both sides of the ball that could play into the outcome on Sunday night. So we talked on yesterday's podcast in my return from Australia about the important steps of growth that Mitchell Trubisky seemed to take against the Detroit Lions. In particular, it came from an offensive understanding and his ability to execute the scheme Matt Nagy put forth for him. And that was a very important step and a very important amount of growth that Mitchell Trubisky needed to take, and it's good to see him take it at this point in the season. It was an all-around encouraging performance. But he still, obviously, has weaknesses that defenses can exploit. And we talked later on yesterday's podcast about some of the things the Lions didn't do to potentially slow down this young quarterback. Most importantly was getting pressure after the quarterback, particularly with the blitz. That we've seen Mitchell Trubisky at times be able to make some plays under pressure, but when and where the accuracy and mechanics particularly go out the window is when he faces those extra rushers, usually crowding the line of scrimmage and getting into his head a little bit, forcing him, or I guess making him unintentionally rush himself, rush his throws, rush his mechanics, rush his decision-making. And ultimately, it's why he's been one of the worst quarterbacks against the blitz in the NFL this season, according to Pro Football Focus. Last week, the Lions only blitzed him on 7 of his 33 dropback attempts. So he had plenty of throws from a clean pocket, which allowed him to be more confident, which allowed him to go through his progressions and allowed Matt Nagy to call more of the what they call pure progression throws, where he actually does have a full field read and he's able to get through it and find Allen Robinson open for big plays and Anthony Miller open for big plays and, you know, be more explosive of an offense. But what we've seen this season in the games when Mitchell Trubisky struggles is opposing defenses bringing those extra pass rushers. It was early on with the Packers and the Seahawks and the Cardinals, but even more recently, you look at the Dolphins game, the Patriots games, when Trubisky was particularly struggling. There were a lot of blitzes from opposing defenses that were able to get into his head. And even in some of those games, he still put up decent efficiency numbers, but you still saw a lot of those inaccurate throws that just miss wide open receivers that leave you just a little bit frustrated about this quarterback. And so you come into this Minnesota Vikings game, and it's not as though the Vikings are specifically, you know, the most blitz-heavy team in the NFL. I mean, actually, when you look in terms of the pure numbers, over the course of the season, they're actually slightly below average on total percentage of defensive plays with a blitz called. But what you see head coach Mike Zimmer do is fluctuate it immensely based on the quarterback he's facing. So when he played Drew Brees 2 games ago in Week 8, they only blitzed him on 12% of his dropbacks. But when he played the Bills and Josh Allen in Week 3, they blitzed on almost 40%. So it's a huge variety based on the quarterbacks that they play, and you've seen him be more likely to blitz young and inexperienced quarterbacks. They blitzed Josh Allen a lot. They blitzed Josh Rosen and the Arizona Cardinals a lot, but he didn't as much blitz Drew Brees, didn't as much blitz even Jimmy Garoppolo and Matthew Stafford, but blitzed plenty towards Sam Darnold and the Jets as well. So I would expect a lot of blitzing from Mike Zimmer, and it's not going to be over the top, and it's not going to be, you know, a ton of these, you know, overloads with seven and eight guys coming after the quarterback. But we know that this Vikings defense loves to show that double A gap linebacker look, where you've got two defensive tackles kind of over the outside of the guards, and two of their linebackers stand up right over the center in the middle of the line of scrimmage. And it, you know, it allows them to either, you know, rush those two guys for a nice blitz, or maybe rush one and drop the other, or drop both and bring more blitzes on the edge, and just give Mitchell Trubisky a lot of different things to prepare for, all out of the same look. And I think personally that has a recipe for a difficult day at the office for Trubisky, because not only will they be able to somewhat get into his head with the blitz, I mean, this is still the area we need to see Trubisky take that next step, but also they have a pretty strong defense on the back end to be able to hold up if Trubisky's able to get the ball out. I mean, the Vikings defense isn't as dominant as maybe we thought they might be this season, but you still have Xavier Rhodes having a strong season at cornerback, Harrison Smith, one of the best safeties in the NFL. I mean, there are certainly weaknesses on this defense, and there will be areas that Matt Nagy can try and exploit, which we'll get into later on in the podcast. But if I'm the Bears, I'm going into this game certainly concerned about what the pass rush is going to do. I mean, they have great pass rushers in Denell Hunter, and Everson Griffin seems to be back on track here, and you know, Sheldon Richardson on the interior. They've got a good run stopper with Linval Joseph. This defensive line by itself is going to give this Bears offensive line some trouble. You add some blitzers in there as well, and it makes me fear a step back for Mitchell Trubisky in this game, and it's going to be up to the rest of the Bears offense and, of course, the Bears defense to carry their weight, to maybe pick up some of the slack, to ultimately be able to pull off a key division win in prime time. And I know the Bears are obviously in first place in the NFC North, just ahead of those Minnesota Vikings, but I still found myself a little bit surprised that the Bears are 2.5-point favorites on the spread on mybookie.ag. Even so, a lot of the money being placed right now is on that Vikings side of the spread, and either way, if you want to get into it, mybookie is the place to lay down some cash and win big. Right now, Locked On Bears listeners can get their first deposit matched dollar for dollar when you use the promo code LOCKEDON at MyBookie. They even have live in-game betting, so you don't even have to get your wager in before kickoff. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Up next, we look at the matchup with this Bears defense that's very favorable against the biggest weakness of this Minnesota Vikings offense. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. As we turn our attention to Bears-Vikings on Sunday night today on the podcast, you know, we just got done looking at how the Vikings match up pretty well with the ways to attack Mitchell Trubisky. And as it turns out, the reignition of this Bears pass rush coincides pretty well with a weak Minnesota Vikings offensive line. And this is a Vikings team that has been hit pretty hard with injuries this season. And remarkably, the Bears have not. I mean, their Wednesday injury report came out, and Deion Sims missed practice with a concussion, and that was the only player on the Bears injury report 10 weeks into the season. I was totally amazed, because you look on the other side of this matchup, the Minnesota Vikings had 9 guys on that report, with 2 starters and one of their top 2 tight ends all missing practice on Wednesday. They already have, let's see, it would be 2 offensive linemen on injured reserve, plus another one questionable this week after having sat out the last couple games. They are a team relying on some backups up front, although the right tackle Brian O'Neill just came back from injury last week against the Detroit Lions, so they're getting a little bit of relief there, but it's still not a strong offensive line by any stretch of the imagination. And the big weak link now with O'Neill back in the lineup is the right guard, Mike Remmers. He has allowed 3 sacks, 3 hits, and 24 quarterback hurries this season. That is the most of any player on the team with a combined, what would that be, 30 overall pressures allowed this season. It's been a struggle for him throughout this year in pass protection, and he provides a pretty favorable matchup here against Akiem Hicks. That is where Hicks tends to line up most often, over that right guard at that defensive tackle position. And Remmers is a guy that struggles anchoring with power rushers, really kind of driving their weight into him. And we've talked about it before on this podcast, and we've seen it throughout the season. That is what Akiem Hicks does best, getting under the pads of the blocker and pushing him back into the quarterback before shedding him and trying to make the tackle. And even Bilal Nichols, success in a similar type of pass rush. So I would look for both of those guys going up against this right guard to be able to get some of that interior pressure on Kirk Cousins. And even the center too, Pat Elflein, a young guy, I believe a third round pick out of Ohio State last year. So not this, he's not a rookie, this is his second year in the league. He's struggled quite a bit in pass protection as well. And their left guard, if healthy, is Tom Compton, the former Bears backup slash fill-in left guard as well. Although they worked with Danny Isadoria, a 2017 fifth-round pick, he would be the fill-in there. I mean, there is a lot of weakness on that interior, although I think Isadoria, you know, he can get a little bit going better in the running game, as can Elflein and Compton, but there is some weakness for an interior pass rush there. Maybe some more blitzing from Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith as well. But even on the edges, I mean, there's not really a strength to this Vikings offensive line, and it gives this Bears pass rush a very clear advantage to pressure the quarterback. So you might be sitting there thinking, okay, maybe this will just be a completely low-scoring defensive struggle, and I do think it will be to some extent. But what concerns me about this side of the matchup is how well Kirk Cousins has played while under pressure this season. To my knowledge, he is one of the best in the NFL when he's under pressure and in these broken down pockets. I mean, he has had a lot of practice with it this season. You know, looking at the pressure numbers overall from Pro Football Focus, it looks like Kirk Cousins ranks with the third most pressure of any quarterback this season, but his passer rating while under pressure is also third best. He's got 5 touchdowns under pressure. He's completing over 68% of his passes for 7.7 yards per attempt. I mean, yes, he's thrown 4 picks. 4 of his 5 picks have come under pressure, but this is a guy who is kind of taking that next step in that area this season. And so my concern is, yes, the Bears should be able to get some pass rush going against Kirk Cousins and should dominate at the line of scrimmage. The problem is a lot of teams have done that this season, and the Vikings have been able to win in spite of it, particularly as of late. It was something they struggled with early on. You know, you think against the Packers in the tie, against the Bills in that big upset, and then the Rams after that was 3 straight losses for the Vikings where they did struggle with some decent pass rushes and their offensive line really not being able to hold it together. But, you know, they beat the Eagles, they beat the Cardinals, they beat the Jets, and you know, those are teams that, you know, varying levels of pass rush success, but we've seen them have pass rush success against the Bears with those matchups. So this is an interesting situation with a quarterback that can handle the pressure and a defense that can certainly bring it. And it's going to be up to Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, Akiem Hicks, even Bilal Nichols, to make sure that their pressure is effective. You have to convert pressure into sacks, into hits, into disrupted passes in order to defeat Kirk Cousins. Because if you're just moving the pocket, you know, he can take the pressure, he can step up, he can move his feet, keep his eyes downfield, and throw and still have success with that pressure. But if you can make that pressure more disruptive, hit the quarterback, bring him down, hit his hand, force some turnovers, that's when your pass rush can make all the difference in the game and really take away Kirk Cousins' strength when the pocket breaks down. But of course, more will go into this game than just how the two teams will get after and try and limit the opposing quarterbacks. So, still to come on Locked On Bears, we'll get into some of the other key matchups, find areas that the Bears can try and exploit out of the Vikings, and a few things to look out for that Minnesota can do well. That's next on Locked On Bears. So we know this is going to be a really tight matchup between the Vikings and Bears. I think it's going to be the game of the week on Sunday Night Football. You know, these are two teams with strengths in different positions, in different areas, and I think it makes for a more interesting matchup that way. You know, I look at the thing that stands out to me the most about this Minnesota Vikings team that we haven't talked about yet is, of course, these wide receivers. I mean, two of the best in the NFL with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Just, you know, Thielen especially doing things that we just haven't really seen from a productivity standpoint, especially for a guy out of, what, Division II Minnesota State that went undrafted. And he is questionable with a back injury for this game. So if he sat out, that would be huge for this Bears defense. But it's going to be a really tough matchup and the toughest of the season, I think, for Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara. I mean, the Bears just haven't faced a set of wide receivers, or I guess a pair of wide receivers, with as much talent as these two. I mean, they've seen a few guys individually here and there. You know, Mike Evans of the Buccaneers, and I guess Josh Gordon of the Patriots, and even Marvin Jones on the Lions. I mean, there's been some wide receiver talent. Maybe throw Larry Fitzgerald in there as well, but no one up to Adam Thielen's caliber, and certainly no duo up to the par of Thielen and Stephon Diggs. So I'm concerned about how well Fuller and Amukamara will hold up in this game, just because, again, Kirk Cousins does so well with that pressure. He's able to extend plays. He's able to, you know, run the scramble drill with his guys. And we saw even last week, as this secondary continues to make plays, they still gave up some decent completions to the Lions and let Stafford make some nice plays and at least bring the Lions back a little bit and keep them in it at times, even when their running game wasn't going. So that those wide receivers, I think, are always going to be a little bit of a matchup concern for me. But when you flip it the other way and look at the Bears offense against this Vikings defense, they've got some weakness at the linebacker position when you're talking about covering the pass, especially with Anthony Barr injured, although Barr isn't the most skilled coverage linebacker himself. We saw the Rams really take advantage of that a few weeks ago. But even him and his backup, Eric Wilson, who has played the last couple games with Barr on the injury report, that's the kind of guy I'm looking to get Tariq Cohen matched up on. I mean, those are, you know, the types of speed advantages that we see Matt Nagy try and find in each of their games. And sometimes it's not a Cohen versus a linebacker matchup, but more often than not, the Bears have been able to exploit that, especially when you look at this Viking secondary. Like we said, Trey Wayne's having a pretty strong season. Xavier Rhodes is never one to overlook. Harrison Smith in that secondary at safety is just all over the field and can really shut down anyone he wants. You know, I might look for Anthony Miller against Mackenzie Alexander in the slot as another potential plus matchup for the Bears, but I'm still concerned about this blitz, and I don't think you're going to see a lot of these long developing plays for the Bears. I think you're going to need Trubisky to have to get rid of the ball quickly. You're going to need to leave tight ends and running backs in to help and chip in pass protection. You're going to need hot routes, and you're going to need guys to make plays after the catch, which we started to see more of against the Detroit Lions, with Allen Robinson making some plays and forcing some missed tackles, Anthony Miller doing the same thing, and you're going to need more of that from Tariq Cohen. So, you know, there's a lot of back and forth to be had between these two teams. There's some weaknesses that the other side can try and take advantage of. There's some real strengths that each side might have trouble trying to slow down, and I really think this is going to be a back and forth game down to the end in the fourth quarter, ultimately decided by a field goal or less, in my opinion, which I guess makes the Cody Parkey situation that much more critical. And he's been practicing kicking at Soldier Field this week in the evenings to get back and get more familiar with the conditions there. And ridiculously, the local TV stations threw their news traffic helicopters up in the air to hover over the field and record him practicing kicks. It's funny but sad at the same time, and I guess it just shows you how relevant the Bears are again nowadays, that they care about every little thing they're doing, because this team is winning, they're in first place, they're fun to watch, and they have a key marquee primetime matchup against a division foe to currently decide who will be in first place heading into the next slate of games. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, a lot more fun than watching a kicker practice kicks on a Wednesday night from a helicopter, certainly. And we will be here all week long on Locked On Bears, breaking it all down for you. We are back in our regularly scheduled programming here, back from Australia, back from my time off, and back breaking down the team you love. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis, and you can stay even more connected with the show on the Locked On Bears Facebook group. Just search Locked On Bears on Facebook and request to be added, and I'll make sure you're a real person and not just some kind of spammer trying to get into our group, and you can join in the conversation. They posted some pictures in there of some Bears jerseys I saw for sale in a shopping mall in Australia, and I can tell you it was two players that haven't been on the team for more than a decade, and I got a real kick out of seeing those on the stands at what was a Rasta Jamaican pop-up shop. It was just the most random thing, and I was able to share a few laughs with the members of the Facebook group. So check that out. Search Locked On Bears group on Facebook and join in with us there as well. There's also the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line, 312-620-8590. I appreciate the people who are sending stuff in while I was in Australia, but of course, by the time I get back and we get to now, it's a little bit outdated from the Lions games and even the Bills games before that. So if you're watching this Vikings game, win, lose, or draw, you got instant reactions, comments, questions for the show. Feel free to shoot us a text or call and leave a voicemail, and we'll answer your question right here on your favorite daily Chicago Bears podcast. I hope everyone is really treasuring all these fun games we get to watch the Bears play this season. It really is just a great feeling to bear down.